I am Mrs. Albert W. Bloom. I am now going to interview Mr. Nathan Katz.
Tell me about your home in Europe. Where did you live? What country? Was it a town or a village or a farm? And the kind of house you had? Whatever you remember.
Well, it was a small house. And we have the family. I mean, we have two brothers and one sister. My sister been married at the time, and my brother was in America at that time. He was in New York.
And what country was this in?
Russia.
Yeah. Ukrainian part. And near what town or
town
village?
Spikov, if you can remember that.
Spikov.
Spikov. Yeah.
Spikov. Yeah. And was that a small village?
Small one. It was only about 500 families.
500 families. And did you have a farm, or was this in the city?
No.
All right, now, in your immediate family that lived in the house with you, you said there was one brother already in America and one sister married. So at home was just...
Myself and another boy, a younger one, America.
And how long had you lived in that?
Since I remember, his father was
family had lived there before you were born?
I think probably about 20 years.
Mm-hmm. And were your parents both living?
Yeah. And they died now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what kind of work did you do then, or since you were too young to be working, was your father do there?
Father was in the mail, a mailman. It was called it. This town didn't have a post office, and we used to go down about 7 miles away from the town. So the city given permit to handle that mail for the town. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the Jews was not allowed to have any government jobs. But that way, the governor gave him the right to have it, and we made a living with him.
That was his job. Mm-hmm. What language was spoken in your home?
Russian. Russian is Jewish, most of them Jewish.
Yiddish and Russian, huh? And did you go to school in Europe?
No. Oh my God, I wish you could.
Did you have any Hebrew schooling?
Oh, yeah, Hebrew school, yeah.
You had a Seder?
Yeah.
There was no Russian school in your village?
There was a school there. Not allowed. We got to have 100 people growing before you had one one Jew.
All right. Now, what was your synagogue like?
Synagogue like Orthodox, almost Orthodox.
Was there just one in the town?
No, we had about four.
And were there any non-Jewish relatives, non-Jewish people in your village?
Oh, yeah.
Now, were there any non-Jews in your village?
Oh, yeah, it was, but they were outside, far away, like from here to Vatico.
In the outskirts?
Campus.
Mm-hmm, in the country.
But any city was not Jews.
How were your relations between the Jews in your town and the non-Jews around?
We were pretty good with them. But some of them was rotten, no question about it. But most of them, they was all right.
Now, did you or your family belong to any organizations in Europe that you remember, political organizations, a Zionist or a socialist, or labor union?
I used to belong to the Zionist movement.
You belonged there already?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
Was it allowed?
14 years. Oh, yes, sure.
It was allowed.
Yeah.
But your father didn't belong to any socialists or anything like that. How was the relationship between the government in your country and the Jews? You already told me about the mailman in the school, but was there anything else that you remember?
Most of them, by myself, I was 21 years of age to conduct in the army. I was there only about 6 months. and meaning that inside, while you served there, so I gave allowed to call a Jew. They call it a Jit.
They weren't allowed to call you
No, Jew. Not in army. As long as you have a uniform, we're not allowed. Mm-hmm. This is how our captain was like that.
Mm-hmm.
Not an order, maybe I don't know it. Mm-hmm. But if I was there, I was saying, you ain't allowed to call, you're supposed to call your way.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not so bad there, but the one thing that got me mad where there comes a general to pick up and the new ones that come in after 3 months and they take him for, to treat them as be officers, like a captain or lieutenants, to stand in special schools. So everybody stand up straight and the captain go down with the general. And if you like the man, they say, I want this fella, I want this fella, I want this fella. Come down to me and put a cross with the, that he want me.
Yes.
And they can't control me. Jew. Jit. You raise. That told them. They backed right off. Oh, I was there that time I feel so mean that I got sick of it. And after I was in the hospital for a good while, and they sent me home.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about America in those days?
Oh, in those days, America was very good. Nothing to kick about America.
Think about coming?
I came in over here, and I started looking for jobs, and I couldn't.
Well, now let's see. Why did you leave?
I left here. First of all, I didn't have anything to do there. No business you could go. No work. You can down at we had a factory refining for sugar, but no Jewish people working there. One thing. And I didn't have anything to do. I got married already at that time, and I decided to go to the United States. And my mother didn't like it. My dad didn't like it, because, you know, my brother, the older one, was here already, and the younger one was too young. So I decided to go. After I left him, I come over here. My mother sent me a letter. She's very, very certified I left because they called me for the army. They started
again
the war in 1914.
Oh, they were
calling me. They took a pen and they called me back again. Examinations. Maybe they wouldn't take me, maybe they would. Because my younger boy was down here and he got killed here.
Mm-hmm.
Got lost in the war. You don't even know where he is.
Did you have a definite destination when you came here? Did you know you were coming to Pittsburgh?
I came right to Pittsburgh. No, I thought maybe I'd go to New York, but I changed my mind immediately.
After you got there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Were you as part of a group coming over, or were you just by yourself?
By myself.
Mm-hmm. And how did you come over? From your country to the boat, how did you travel?
To the boat.
But how did you get from Ukraine?
Well, I direct from Washington.
From
Russia? Yeah, I had a passport to go now.
Mm-hmm.
They gave me a passport, all right.
Now, did anybody meet you in New York at the
New York is
the organization, or
I
anybody knew?
I came in Philadelphia, not in New York.
Oh, Philadelphia.
Yeah. And as a lady come by all the way, Yovel, and she says, you're going to Pittsburgh, you stay right in here, don't go nowhere. I says, all right, and I had to go down and get something to eat, and I have the ocean money, nobody wants it, and I couldn't talk, and she comes over and says, come in. Take me over and got me a meal.
And you don't know who she is? Was she from an organization?
No, I didn't know who they are, but I know they told me that they are.
Hyatt.
Yes, they told me that.
Mm-hmm.
Hyatt.
Mm-hmm.
The problem was Hyatt. I don't know, they two told me that. And they put me on the train and come over here.
And what kinds of things did you bring with you? What objects or what papers did you bring along
Nothing
with you?
Nothing at all. Just my passport, that's all.
No
nothing
equipment else. From home?
So I didn't have anything, but I didn't need nothing.
Is your name the same as it was in Europe?
No.
What
my name
was
a long one.
And, yeah, what was it?
Katmazovsky.
Katmazovsky.
Zovsky.
Mm-hmm. And then you just shortened it yourself.
My brother Donna did ring, and I done it, and I have cousins in all of Medicine.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, what first impressed you when you came to the United States? Philadelphia, right?
First thing they came in, and they told me, says, get a bundle of bones and go out and see a, any dog, go down and knock the door and sell it. I didn't
get
know
a bundle of what?
Bones.
Bones.
I didn't know what it was. I put it on
this
my...
This was in Philadelphia.
Bones,
no, Pittsburgh. Wait, let's go back to Philadelphia. Do you remember anything special? You just went right from the
right
boat into the train.
Inside. I'll be there about an hour and a half until the train left.
Okay. All right. Now, in Pittsburgh, they told you to get brooms.
Yeah. All right. And I did. I get 6 brooms. I'll never forget it. When I came home, I could move my arm. Oh, was scratching all and all that sort of kind of thing. So I was on about 2 months like that, and then I went down to the father and told me that I could get a job in the Westinghouse. So I went down and got a job here.
Now, was this the very first day you came to Pittsburgh? They told you about the broom?
Thursday.
All right.
They came in on a Sunday morning, and then Monday morning, you said, get out.
All right. Now, and then you, was there anything in Pittsburgh that, just in life in the United States, that disappointed you during those first 5 years?
No, nothing at all.
Was there any time during that time that you felt that you were being treated wrongly because you were an immigrant?
No. No, they're very good to me everywhere.
Now, after you lived here for 5 years, did you feel that you had accomplished what you had come for, or that you would someday soon be able to accomplish it?
I made up my first papers immediately as soon as I came in. And I had to wait 5 years, but I couldn't wait no 5 years because the war started in the United States. And I was working for the Railway Express on the Pennsylvania Railroad. And I figured I better get my papers out right now. I took my papers out, and they called me for service. And I was glad to go too, but my superintendent didn't like it because he couldn't get any man to work. And my work was very responsible. You have to handle money, a lot of money there. You call a messenger, train messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't get any other man to replace me. They took me out the first time, the second time, and called me 3 times. And the last one, I couldn't get out. It was in November, I'll never forget it, November the 11th. Went down here, signed up, was down in the office. And the British state was the office in, and some officer came out to myself, lieutenant, and said, boys, oh, a lot of boys, but I don't know 50 of you in there. Go down to Vicen and get your dinner, your breakfast, whatever it was. And we're supposed to go to Pennsylvania to the, what do you call it, the Northside Bridge, was the B&O Railroad, to go to Camp Lee, Virginia. And we didn't have to, because we were spending till 11:30. And we heard something is going on outside, what's going on there? But then comes up and says, boys, I don't know what to do with you. I have to wait for the captain. And the one, I said, oh my God. I said, now we're going to go hang out. You find the captain came in about 2 o'clock, and he said, boys, I'm awful sore. You have to go home.
No wonder you remember that so well.
I couldn't go. I got a big trail. I did like to go in at least.
And that's exactly 5 years after you were here?
Yeah.
Now, what was your first home like in Pittsburgh? Where did you live, and with whom did you live?
First, I lived with my landslide, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was there not long, it was only about a month, the first month. Charged me $3 a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money, I've been married.
Yes.
I started going with the rooms and making sometimes 40 cents a day, sometimes a dollar. That's all you could make. And then and I went down, I had another.
And how long day did you work on the brooms first?
Oh, not long.
I mean, how many hours a day?
I used to go out about 9 o'clock in the morning. And when I got tired, I used to go home.
And when you got the job at Westinghouse,
was
your second job?
Yeah.
What kind of work was that?
Well, it's called it in the box shop, big boxes.
And how long did you work there?
I worked there in 1915, and they went up in a strike, and I lost out.
And then you went to
go back, and
then
I
you went to the Railway Express.
And then I went on to the job in the Railway Express.
Did you have to work at Westinghouse or Railway Express? Did you have to work on Shabbos and Jewish holidays?
Yes.
And
not in the high holidays.
Except for
on the railroad, when I used to get off.
Right.
So next morning, he said, "Don't come in too early. Come in at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock. You come in." I came in at 10 o'clock in the morning. And walked in the office, and he was there, and some young fella came in and said, "Johnny, he's a man for you. He's going to be your helper. Show him how to do it, and he's very good. I like his face." I said, "What do you show my face?" I didn't know it. Then he told me, he says, "You get $40 the first month. Second month, you'll get $60. And everything's going on until you get another job, probably. Later on, see where you're going to work." So, man took me in the train, and he gets a gun, he gets me a gun to put on, and I know, I said, "What is it? What kind of job is that?" So, I didn't have the time to talk to him, so after he went in the car, and he said, "See that? All of this stuff you signed for. It's about a lot of money, some of them. Some little package maybe worth $1,000. You don't know it. It's not in the top of valuation, so much and so much. You sign for it. You have to be real careful. You have to have a safe in the car, you know, a station is safe. You have to put it in the safe and get it out and you come up to the station." Well, I worked there only for 2 days with him, and then he sent me into Pitcairn with the trains for Pitcairn back again. I was there only about 2 weeks, and it took me off, sent me to Altoona.
This was with the Railway Express?
Yeah, so it was going by train. In Altoona, we worked one trip, and then one trip off. There we go. One trip off. I worked there for about a couple of years. And it was an opening for a New York job, and I got a New York job. New York job was a lot of money there. At the time, used to pay, I think, $196.
What kind of job is it?
Same job.
But
the messenger.
In
Pittsburgh, New York.
Between Pittsburgh and New York.
You go to Pittsburgh, even, for instance, Saturday night, come in Sunday morning. Sunday morning, no train going back, you have to dead it back. Then Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, going out again. Wednesday morning, come in New York, stay there overnight, come back the next day home again.
Did you stay with the Railway Express then?
No, we had the ride, the railroad ride on the station. I stayed there for 33 years.
Mm-hmm.
Until I was in a train accident. That's taking out of the job.
But you were working for Railway Express all those
30
years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
if you could live your life over again, this part of it, would you have gone into that kind of work?
Oh, yeah,
too?
I did like it. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting.
Now, did you have any schooling here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, in high school.
So where was that?
I was in the Wall Street, I think, used to be at that time.
Do you know how long you went there?
About a year and a half, I think. You had one winter, the summertime, didn't have any school.
Did you learn to speak English?
Oh, yes.
Outside?
Sure, I had a lot of work to do in my job.
Yeah, but I mean, did you learn to speak outside even before you went to school, or you actually learned to speak in school?
No, I learned to speak in school. And the best, and the rest, I mean, by the job.
And to write.
And the job himself, you have to write.
Yeah, sure, but you had to know how to, before you could get the job.
And how.
Now, did you work with Goyim, or go to school with Goyim in school, too?
Yeah.
Did you have any social activities with any Goyim?
No.
Then, of course, you were too old, so you weren't going to any Hebrew school or cheder here.
No.
Did you like music? Did you play any musical instruments at this time,
no,
or go to any concerts or operas?
No.
Did you ever go to the Yiddish theater?
Oh,
or any other theater?
They have it. I used to go to it. I used to go to New York. Stay there overnight. I used to go down in the show. I was down to put it in Second Avenue somewhere.
Did you ever go to any other theater aside from New York in the early days?
Yeah, all kind of movies, yeah. And nothing to New York all day from the morning until late at night.
Did you ever attend any lectures here in Pittsburgh?
I used to go to lectures right here in Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have occasion to use the library here?
Yeah, I used to have books in the library, Jewish books.
Mm-hmm. And what Pittsburgh newspapers do you remember reading in the early days once you learned to read English?
It was the Pittsburgh Press used to be. That's all we know.
Now, when you came to Pittsburgh, did you think of yourself as a religious person?
Oh, yes.
And in what way would you say?
I was Orthodox all the time, still now.
Did you change any of your religious practices during the first 5 years?
No.
Did you attend a synagogue here in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, sure.
Which one?
Well, Chofetz Chaim.
Chofetz Chaim.
Zabashinsky Shul. Yes, that is Shara Kvili before downtown.
Shara Kvili. And what were the shuls like?
The same thing. I was on shul used to live in East End before. It was Doris Chaim.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be there.
And how often did you go to shuls?
For near every day when I'm home. When I was working, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But not today, go have a day. I got up in the morning at 6 o'clock and go to school.
And at home, you do all the observances?
She's there, Kusha.
Okay. Now, did you have any change of your health when you came to this country due to the change of climate or food? Didn't affect you? And when you were here in Pittsburgh in the early years, where did you go for any medical care? Did you have a family doctor?
Dr. Glacken used to be here.
That was your family, the family doctor.
Yeah.
Now, what were the first organizations that you belonged to here in Pittsburgh? The school you told me.
Jewish National Workers Alliance.
Coliseum.
Or Bunt, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
And Palestine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And did you belong to any organizations that were set up to give charity?
Not before. Now,
did you have any pushkis in your house? No, in the early days. Did you have any pushkis in your house in the early days?
I have a pushki from what do you call it? The Tzitzul, some kind of.
Jewish National Fund.
Mm-hmm. Jewish National Fund. Mr. Putter, dimes, Nicholson.
Yeah, and was there any other way that you were asked to contribute to charity aside from the pushkis?
Oh, years ago, but they used to have
people came around?
They just mostly the Palestine, Israel,
mm-hmm.
Palestine.
Mm-hmm.
And
Palestine what time. Kind of social activities did you have? Where did you go for have a good time? Where'd you go?
I used to go sometimes he's very shown here, and I used to go there. We used to stay home. I didn't have more time. Much.
Was your wife here?
Yeah.
She came with you when you first came?
This is my second marriage.
Yeah, but your wife came
after them. She didn't come with me.
Came later.
She came. Yeah. The divorce started right away. They couldn't go there.
So how much later did she come?
She came in 1920. She came in.
Mm-hmm.
1920.
And then, so in those years in between, then you just went around with the other young men that, were there any sports activities that you participated in those days?
No. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go to watch any sports?
No.
Ball?
Used to go swimming, that's all.
Swimming, all right. That's so where did you go swimming?
Oh, you used to go down, what do you call it? The river. Forget the name of it.
Did you know about the YMCA at all?
Well, I have to be a member of the Y.
No, not the Y. Did you, were you aware, was there any from the Christian, YMCA?
YMCA, young age, I remember
Christian.
There for
you
years.
Remember there? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Was that the one downtown?
Downtown. No, not in, in New York. The Beverly Railroad YMCA. Mm-hmm. You have to belong there.
Mm-hmm. Were there any other non-Jewish organizations that you had contact with?
There used to be way back years ago, I forget the name, is a lodge. B'nai Bliss.
B'nai
Bliss now.
Mm-hmm.
Way back years ago, it's probably about 40 years.
And where you lived in those early years, were there any local meeting places that people got together in a cafe or political parties?
Do you still have meetings in the not in the Iron Corporate Center? And the Zionist Institute used to be there. Near
Hebrew Institute. Hebrew Institute. No, Zionist Institute.
Zionist Institute. We used to come there from the other day.
That's where you
there.
Had your Korban.
Yeah, the Korban. And the, you used to come down and spend it when you every night.
And how did you meet people here in Pittsburgh in those first 5 years? So you went first to Lunch Light?
Yes, you meet good organization. Synagogues and otherwise.
And did you have any non-Jewish friends in the
early
days?
Oh, I have some. They used to work with me.
With that work.
Yeah, okay. I know. They were very good.
Now, are you still friends with any of the people that you were friends with in those first 5 years?
Sure, they still call me for the every old age group down here. But I belong to the Coffin Center, the senior citizen. Otherwise, I couldn't go there.
Which old age group calls you?
From the
Anything else?
No, from the
Korban.
From the railroad.
Oh, the railroad group,
yeah.
Even. Oh, yeah.
The older people, they combined them. They come to the meetings. I couldn't go there. I don't have the transportation there.
So you didn't have any other family here, though, in Pittsburgh?
Family, you have cousins.
You had cousins.
Yeah.
Did you see them and celebrate Seders with the whole family? Did you celebrate like a Seder?
No,
did
we never been together with him.
Not together. Okay. Just your own family. Now, during those first 5 years, did you keep in touch with people in Europe? Of course, you had your wife.
You couldn't write. I didn't know. I had no mail, and they didn't write to me. I couldn't write to him.
So then, how did you make the contact after the war?
Contact we made to the. She left Russia. She just sneaked out, you know, to Romania. When she came into Romania, and then she got. She had an uncle there, and they sent a letter, and I sent her money to come over.
Mm-hmm. But the family just had your address when you first came before the war started. Mm-hmm. So you are an American citizen, of course, and you got it on your own. And when did you first vote? Do you remember?
First vote, I think, is who was after President Wilson, next to Wilson there.
Now, if you don't mind telling me, I'm not asking you what you're going to vote this year, but do you remember what you first voted, which party you first voted when you voted?
Democrat right from the start. Right from the start. I tell you what happened. I lived that time in Cliff Street. And downstairs was a politician there. I didn't know him. He was working for the city. And he came down and says, I have a lot of stuff for you. Here's your seat. 50 cents. I says, "Oh, forget about it." I said, "What did you arrest me for? I don't know what it is." He says, "A Republican." I went down and changed it. And he got so ridiculous and said, "Here's your 50 cents. I don't want it." He wouldn't take it back, but he was very, very mad at me.
Mm-hmm. Now, your wife, you had met how in Europe?
I met her when she was only about 16, 17.
And you were how old?
And, years ago, and I couldn't go into the house. I came in only once, and his father chased me out.
You were just...
Hey, get out of here. I never forget it. She lives only about, from here to East Pittsburgh.
What year were you married to? What year were you married?
We were married in 1911.
And so you had known each other 4 or 5 years?
Oh, I knew him more than that. I knew she was only about 10 years old, but I didn't pay much attention. But after, we couldn't go steady together because, they wouldn't let me go in. I come in and they were hollering me. And on my holidays, they used to come down in the city. And that time, Dad used to go to school and I used to go down to see her.
Well, if she lived that far out from town, how did you first know you didn't see them when they came?
We used to walk. There's only about 3 miles.
So then the marriage wasn't prearranged. You took care of that yourself.
I took care of myself after that.
All right. Did any of your family or any friends of anyone you know in those days marry any non-Jews?
No.
What kind of problems of adjustment did you have during the early years of your marriage?
When I got married in Europe, I started being as a salesman, bringing some merchandise from Odessa to the storekeepers in our town. But first of all, we need a lot of money. And second one is expenses was too high to go in there, and the profit was very small. And besides this, when I figured out if I'm going to have children, can I go to school? I don't want it. I decided to go away. I had a couple $100, and I said, I've enough just to go back to the United States, nothing else. I left $100 for my wife, and I have $100, and that's all I have. And I needed $25 to show when you came in, I didn't have it. So before I left, my father wouldn't give it to me. So you don't want me to go there, to go to the United States. So I loaned the money from some fella. There it goes.
Was in your own house, as far as making the decisions between you and your wife, was it the same as it was in your house that you grew up? Your father made the decisions in his house, and you made the decisions in your house? Now, what kind of schooling did your children, you had children here?
No, I didn't have it at that time.
I mean here, in Pittsburgh.
Oh, and here, did you go to high school?
In high school, where?
In Pitt Tavern High School, my first son. Mm-hmm. And daughter on the fellowship to Peabody.
And where did they get their Jewish education?
And we used to have a special teacher at that time.
At home? Was there a big difference between the way you raised your children and the way you had been raised in Europe? What would you say was the biggest difference?
Yeah, it's a difference altogether, a different life, a difference altogether. In Europe, when a father says something, you have to listen to him. And I told him, my father said, I'm going to get married. He said, what? Who's the girl? Is that Shiksa? I said, no. And I told him, I said, oh, you know this fella. I said, he's a nice fella. I said, but to me, it's a different story.
What, were there any special problems that you had raising your children here because you were a new immigrant here?
No, nothing at all.
That's all the questions. If there's anything else that you think that we haven't touched on the questions that you think is especially interesting,
The only thing was interesting when I started work for the railroad, and they came in the first time holidays, Rosh Hashanah. And I was supposed to go out the first day of Rosh Hashanah. But I went down there and talked to one of them, and I said, oh, you can't go there, this is a road. I said, no, I have to go down and see the big boss. Went down there and see the superintendent, and I told him, I said, oh, sure, I'm glad to hear that. And he was very, very happy. He says, absolutely, he says, you take off.